It's now time for the MLB.com Cut Forecast. Cut Forecast. The Cut Forecast. It's a cast from Cut 4. Here it is.
Hello and welcome to the Cut Forecast. I'm Dakota Gardner. I'm joined as always by Jenna Konecka.
Rude.
I'm sorry, I misspoke. Gemma Konecka.
All right, North Dakota.
And of course, Matthew Monaghan. Now that the season is over, he makes his appearance in the office. We've brought him in here. Normally, he's blogging from Bermuda or from other sort of tropical locations.
International waters.
Yeah, a lot of cruise ships, golf courses.
I'm Mr. Worldwide. Of blogging.
I've often compared you to Pitbull, actually. Pretty regular comparison that I have made.
It's a very good comparison. I mean, we're very similar.
Yeah, you're both bald. You're both from Miami. you're both
rap.
I do worldwide, world-renowned musicians.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah, people, sometimes on the street, people will be like, Pitbull, and I'll be like, no, it's me, Matt Monaghan.
I will say, what's fun about this is that Matt actually does look like Novak Djokovic, tennis star. He does not look like Pitbull, but he does look nearly exactly like Novak Djokovic.
People frequently meet him for the first time and note that instantly.
I mean, maybe I am.
That's why you're taking all these international trips. You have to go
play tennis.
I mean,
And when he was hurt, you were actually doing all the baseball coverage.
I was blogging. Yeah, it was a fake injury. Yeah, I faked it. You know.
Well, we have a lot to get to today. The season is over. Gone. It's done.
See ya.
And you know, it's cold in the studio right now. It's cold in America right now because it's almost winter. Yeah. These are the off season days. That's what this is. But we have a lot to talk about. We're gonna break down Justin Verlander's wedding because if you listen to last week's episode of the Cut Forecast, you know that we will pivot to Verlander as much as we can. That
obviously
was a content directive by my boss Gemma Konecka. We also are going to break down a couple Gold Glove awards that we really liked, point out some of our favorite recipients of that award, and then we'll come up with some of our own baseball awards.
Ooh.
Not the Gemmies.
Oh,
if you're a loyal
bad
listener of the Cup Forecast, you know that the Gemmies happen once a year.
Embarrassing.
That happened at the end of the regular season. It is embarrassing for you that you demanded that we name this award after you.
Did not do this. I would have demanded it be named after Justin Verlander or Don Kelly, as everybody knows.
At any rate, these are not the Gemmies. These are new awards that we think would fit in along with most valuable player, rookie of the year, manager of the year, etc. So Cy Young. So but before we get to all of that, the thing that I want to do is put one final pin in the 2017 postseason. We talked a lot about World Series Game 5. We talked a lot about the Astros winning the World Series on our last episode. It was still pretty fresh. It just happened the night before. But I think we should take a second to try to take a step back and like really digest the whole postseason, because it's a month long. It's crazy.
Yes.
A lot happened. And so the question that I want to ask the two of you is, other than World Series Game 5, what was your favorite game of the postseason? Matt?
Oh, the whole postseason?
Of the whole postseason.
Oh, I thought we were just doing World Series.
No.
Okay, well, that's what it is.
Gemma, World Series was pretty wild on its own.
Gemma has been fired. She's been replaced by Jenna Konecka, her assistant. Matt, what was your favorite non-World Series Game 5 postseason game?
It was tough to kind of choose because they all seem to blend together because they're all crazy and chaotic and so many home runs. But I looked back and I really liked ALDS Game 2. Mm. So that was the Indians-Yankees. Indians won 9-8. And it was the game where the Indians were down 8-3, and they had the bases loaded, and Lindor hit that grand slam to come within one.
Yeah.
And that was right after the hit-by-pitch, phantom hit-by-pitch.
Uh-oh. Maybe that, controversy.
That wasn't challenged. And then the next pitch, I think it was the next pitch after that to Lindor. Grand slam. They're down one. They tie the game 8-8, and then Yan Gomes walk off in like the 12th, I think. Mm-hmm. 13th. Wild. Just I love when games are just like madness. You know, everything's just insane. The crowd's going wild. Announcers, players, bloggers.
And it was fairly early in the postseason, yeah, too. So like, that kind of extra innings madness wasn't something you were like, oh, well, this will probably happen the way we kind of began to think by the World Series, I think. So
yeah,
that it was really exciting.
It was a great way to, like, kind of have an early game that was just insane. You know? So, yeah, that's – I mean – yeah, Game 5 definitely tops him in the World Series, but this Game 2 ALDS was fun, a lot of fun.
Yeah, I think that you're going to – it's hard to top that. I think there's an article, if you go to MLB.com/cut4 and read, there's an article there from Chris Landers where he ranked every postseason game from the 2017 postseason. And a lot of the Yankees games scored pretty highly on this list.
Interesting.
Not just because of A1 Mr. Chris Landers' implicit bias toward the Yankees, but also because I do think they were involved in a lot of really exciting games.
Yeah.
Like, I think partly because they're so young, I think they were experiencing the highs of the postseason and the lows of the postseason all sort of together, which combines for compelling games.
Yeah. And it was weird because it was like, I was thinking the wild card games. I looked back at those, which the Yankees Twins game was kind of fun because it started off with just a bunch of home runs. First, right, Dozier hit a home run, and then Didi hit a home run. So, but they weren't as wild as normal. I feel like the wild card games are usually just...
I thought the National League wild card games still had
a lot of that excitement.
Weird game.
That was a weird game. It was very weird. It had like a lull and then it went crazy and Archie Bradley was really hype. But
that's true. Yeah.
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 Yeah, yeah.
Gemma, what was your favorite non-Game 5 postseason game?
I mean...
if you picked a World Series game, that's fine.
No, I mean, well, like, okay, so I thought that we were just picking World Series games, which prevented me from picking my actual favorite other postseason game, which was obviously the Justin Verlander game, because pivot to Justin Verlander. It was obviously ALCS Game 2, a.k.a. Justin Verlander's complete game. That he pitched 13 strikeouts, 5 hits. Incredible for him.
We should have made this category. What was your favorite non-Verlander postseason game?
That's why I thought you had limited it to World Series, because you knew I was just going to be like, oh, MVP Justin Verlander of the ALCS. Like, big deal. Like, of the ALCS, not of the year, okay? Though he has won MVP.
Oh, my God.
Dakota. You say it like you don't tell me this about David Ortiz every second of your life. Anyway, that was my favorite just overall postseason game, because he's just so much fun to watch. But my second favorite World Series game that wasn't Game 5 was Game 1, the Clayton Kershaw game. Because if you know anything about me at the end of this rant, it's that I like to watch really exciting pitchers pitch for a really long time. And that's what he did in that game. And he also sort of put to bed forever the Clayton Kershaw can't get it done narrative, even though he himself does not seem to think so, which is kind of sad.
Yeah, we should talk a little bit about that. Yeah. There was this interview with Clayton Kershaw where he said, like, one of these days I won't fail. Like, that was an actual quote from Kershaw.
There were a couple others.
It made me really sad, and it made me think a little bit about, like, I guess, like, the culture of fandom as it relates to, like, talking about players. Like, I think that, like, they internalize the narrative about them a little bit more than I think fans realize that they do. And so this whole Clayton Kershaw can't get it done in the postseason thing, like, he clearly has internalized that to the point where, like, he very much did get it done in the postseason this year. His, you know, the rest of the team didn't at certain times, but, like, he still feels like he didn't. And, like, I think that that's kind of unhealthy. And I think that we as fans probably should be a little bit more careful with our words and how we talk about players, and just generally be a little bit more aware of the fact that, like, this stuff matters to these guys. I don't know. Matt, what do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's been a story for so long with him and the media building it up every postseason. It's like, can Kershaw do it? Is he going to make it past 7 innings? Is he going to... I don't know if the fans that much this year were on Kershaw. The Dodger fans?
I mean, Giants fans were, obviously.
Yeah, of course, but yeah, I mean, he's the ace. He's the best pitcher in baseball, the best pitcher, one of the best pitchers ever. So he feels the pressure, I'm sure. Mm. But this year, he was
so good.
He was good, you know?
It was
other guys that maybe weren't so good, you know? So, yeah, it's, you know, as a fan, you're going to be tough on these guys, but yeah, it's a lot to for them to count on.
So. One of these days, you won't fail.
No, it was, it was a really sad quote. It just like
well, the saddest thing about that too is I think coming after Game 7, where he was so good,
I know.
Coming in relief like that. And he didn't, there was nothing you could find fault with in his four inning performance there. It was everyone else who let him down. And for him to take all of that weight onto himself, ugh, really sad.
It was sad.
And that's why I liked
undeserved.
Yeah. Really yeah. undeserved.
Yeah. Sorry, Clayton.
I mean, maybe that's
we
how
love you, Clayton.
He does
do.
That athlete thing where that's like how he motivates himself, like never good enough. But at the same time, it just seemed like really defeating and ugh. Yeah.
I know. Our heart
Clayton.
Goes out to you. Come yeah. on the Cup Forecast. Yeah, we'll make you feel better. Yeah.
I won't talk about Justin Verlander, I promise. Only for you, Clayton. Only for you, Clayton.
That's not true. Second to
only, for only for Clayton Kershaw. Anyone else, I can't make any promises.
I would say my favorite games, I had two. One, the NLCS game two with Justin Turner's walk-off.
Oh, that was great.
Oh, that was really good.
That right? I mean, that was if the Dodgers had won the World Series, that would have been the game that everybody talked about, was that Justin Turner walk-off. Because, like,
it was
really exciting. The whole story about him as a kid watching the Gibson. Like, that was just, the whole thing was just lovely. And it was in Dodger Stadium, obviously. Right. And that just made it even more lovely. So that was one of mine. I also thought, sticking with starting pitchers getting it done, in NLDS Game 4, the Strasburg flu game.
Yes. Oh, yes.
Remember that? It was like unclear if he was sick or not, and then he pitched anyway, and he struck out 12, and the Nats won 5-0. Yeah. I mean, that was like...
He was lights out.
Yeah, he was great. It was like unclear 12 hours before that game if he was actually going to start in it.
Oh, if the Nats had made it far, I mean, that would have been the moment for them, too. Yeah. I think you picked two games that would have been the historical moments of their postseason journeys had either of those teams won the World Series.
It's true.
Yep.
It's really
the
true.
Flu game.
The mold game. Or the
there was like
the toxic
may
mold
or may not
game.
Have been mold.
Yeah.
That was great. Did you ever hear Jake Mintz of Cespedes Valley Barbecue's theory?
I haven't heard of it. I don't know who that is, but yeah.
His theory is that Dusty Baker asked Steven Strasburg that morning, "Hey, Strauss, how are you feeling today?" And Strauss replied, "Sick." And Dusty didn't really get it, and so he scratched him. And then it was like, "No, wait, no."
Wow, that's funny.
Yeah,
we should hire that guy.
We should hire that guy. Well, it's been a while since we've had them on the podcast. We should think about that. We've been around them too much. Forget that. Those were my two favorites. You should tweet your favorite postseason games at us at Cut4 with hashtag Cut4Cast. Let us know what moments stuck out to you. And which games that you'll be watching in the off season to try to like keep yourself from going insane without baseball. And but here's the thing: we were talking about this a little bit yesterday off microphone.
Ooh.
About how the off season it's getting shorter and shorter because you know, we're still on the high of the World Series. We're still sort of thinking about the postseason. Next thing you know, the holidays come around. Everything moves really quickly. Then it's January. January is a little tough. But then February, pitchers and catchers report, and it's like, hey, guess what? We're back.
Spring training.
So you know, it's not as bad.
It's
as
not
we're
that
making
long.
It out to be. No. So don't worry. Don't stress too much. But you know who is having just a lovely offseason? Is Gemma's favorite human being.
Once again.
Justin Verlander.
Well, he's not my favorite human being, but he didn't invite me to the wedding, so,
well, so
it's got to drop down a little on the rankings here.
So we saw photos of the wedding in Italy between Justin Verlander and Kate Upton, and it was like a storybook wedding. There were flowers everywhere. They both looked amazing. There were some other Tigers there.
Jordan
right?
Zimmerman was
Tigers.
There. Yeah. He's like really obviously in the photo. His head. He's really tall because he's a professional pitcher, and he's like the only person whose face you can clearly see other than theirs.
Yeah. So none of the Astros were there. They had other things to do.
Yeah, they were really
like appear on Saturday Night Live
and be in a parade in Houston.
Yes. I don't know. What did you, Gemma, what did you think of this wedding?
Well, it looked really, really beautiful. They got married in Tuscany.
Obviously, we know that
very picturesque
is
a tool of the
patriarchy.
Yes,
we know that.
That's true. Yes, if you listen to the Cup Forecast frequently, you know that that's how I feel.
But leaving that aside, it was a lovely wedding, right?
Yes. Well, as everyone knows, I love weddings, or like I like going to them. Even though marriage is a tool of patriarchy, so invite me to your wedding and I will not be rude. Probably.
I mean, free food.
Yeah. Nice food.
I've been to
I like
multiple
dancing.
Weddings. With Gemma, and it's true, she is not rude.
I like dancing at weddings.
She's not just sitting there like smug, like just not eating.
Yeah, she's like, this whole thing is silly. No, she doesn't do that.
I don't. So that's why Justin and Kate should have invited me to their wedding, but they didn't, which is fine. It's totally fine.
It is weird they didn't invite their biggest booster to the wedding.
But it did look really beautiful. I saw a lot of Tigers Instagramming from Italy, so presumably they were also there, or they did like a passive aggressive thing where they just went to Italy at the same time and they were like weird.
I didn't know tigers knew how to use Instagram. How do you feel about the destination wedding, Mono?
I mean, I love going to destinations.
As MLB's chief travel
correspondent, I go to a lot of destinations.
How do you feel about the destination wedding here for Verlander and Kate Upton? I mean, they are the highest profile couple in MLB, unless we count A-Rod and Jennifer Lopez. But
yeah,
but
that's pretty high.
He's not active.
Active. Yeah.
So,
I mean, if you're Justin Verlander and Kate Upton, you got to do it. Oh, big time.
How do we feel about Italy? Are we in support of Italy?
Love Italy.
It's Tuscany,
big Italy,
right?
Yeah, in Tuscany.
Yeah. I mean, that's about as like destination wedding-y as you can get.
There was
get.
A pretty good Instagram on Justin Upton's Instagram, because he went, of them just like chilling in churches, like him and other baseball players just going to historic, beautiful churches. And I thought that was good. They got some culture in.
Okay, if you were getting married, I know, Gemma, I know your feelings about this, but if you were getting married, which baseball players would you want to have in your wedding?
In my wedding?
In your wedding
groom's party.
Yeah, in the party.
Which baseball players?
It's tough. This is a tough question.
It's tough.
Does Bartolo officiate your wedding?
Bartolo's my best man. Sorry, okay. Sorry, brother John. John, yeah, sorry. You might not be in my groom's party. Who else? Puig. Yasiel Puig.
Yeah, you need somebody to
like kind of like the clown, like, you know, joking around.
You need somebody who's gonna lighten the mood.
Yeah, yeah.
Dance floor. Get the party
on the
start.
Dance floor.
Yes,
are you kidding me?
100%.
Yeah. I was kind of upset Verlander didn't have Fernando Rodney at the wedding because they were teammates on the Tigers.
He might have been there.
He may have been there.
What might happen though is they throw the bouquet and then he's gonna shoot it with an arrow.
Shoot it out, this guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. He would have been fun. I don't know what he would have done with this. I guess he would wear his hat to the groom's
maybe
party,
where,
yeah
I mean, why not?
He has to, right?
Yeah
It doesn't come off, actually.
It doesn't.
No, just Fernando Rodney's hat is always
some other
on
suggestions. Yeah. Alex Bregman seems like a good time. He was recently interviewed by Cespedes Family.
That's
Bar.
Good.
He seems smart, kind of with it. You need like the
he's
brainy
trendy
guy
right now too.
Very trendy. That's the other thing you want to have, like
trendy groom's party.
Yeah, and like, here's you don't want somebody like Giancarlo Stanton there, because you as the groom don't want to be upstaged by your groomsman, right?
You can't do that.
Yeah,
is that a thing?
Of course that's a thing.
If he's standing next to me,
of course that's a thing.
If he's standing next to me,
I know it's a thing for bridal parties. I wasn't sure if it was a thing for groom's
parties. That's a thing for humans.
Yeah, if he's standing there next to me, you know, no one's going to be looking at me.
Yeah, they'll be like, look at that
guy. Look at that guy.
Yeah.
Sorry, Giancarlo.
I think I would want Brandon McCarthy to be my best man. I think he'd give a funny speech.
True.
Oh, important.
Fellow
That's
Liverpool
important.
Fan.
Yeah.
Which matters to me.
Funny speech.
Is your wedding going to be Liverpool themed?
Probably. We'll definitely all sing You'll Never Walk Alone. That will happen before the wedding. We'll hold scarves over our heads that are themed to the wedding. Gemma, who would you want at your wedding?
Well, I mean, obviously Ichiro would have to be there in some capacity. I don't know. Definitely would have to maybe officiate the wedding. I think that would be nice.
Okay.
I like non-traditional officiant speeches when they're not just like a reader or something. And I think he's pretty funny secretly, so it would be really good.
He's secretly very funny.
Yes. So that would be great. Would have to invite, just like Justin Verlander, every Tiger. Past and present, clearly. They'd all have to
tiger.
Be there. Every single one.
Miggy seems like fun.
He'd be good.
Really, the point is, do you remember a couple years ago when Uribe was playing for Cleveland and an actual bride was like, I really want Uribe to come? But he couldn't come to the actual wedding because of baseball, but he like came and gave her a pump-up speech before she got married. Juan Uribe seems like the guy that you want.
A lot of people on the 2017 Indians would be really, like Lindor would be a great time at a wedding.
Yeah.
Be great.
I would let Uribe be the wedding band with the ukulele, honestly.
Yeah. Okay. I'm here for all of this. Okay, let us move on from Justin Verlander's wedding. And let us move on to the Gold Glove Awards, which were just announced. We're recording this on Wednesday. These were announced yesterday. Still very fresh in our minds. I like the Gold Gloves. I think these are fun. Mm-hmm. Everybody likes defensive highlights. If you don't like defensive highlights, you're probably not a human being. That is my belief.
Wow, that's your version of the Turing test?
Yeah, or like, you know, the little CAPTCHA at the bottom of a page. It could just say, like, do you like defensive highlights?
Oh, you could say.
Do you like Gold Glove Awards? And then people will just be like, yeah. And if you don't, then you're a robot, right. And you shouldn't be getting an account on Facebook. My question to the two of you is, which was your favorite Gold Glove Award? Gemma, who was yours?
I was having trouble deciding between two, because I wanted to pick someone that you guys probably wouldn't also pick. So I was like, oh, Nolan Arenado, but everyone loves watching Arenado because he's just so great. So I want to take this time to just talk about Ender Inciarte for a second, because nobody was watching him during the regular season, I feel like. That was a team that has a mix of promise and sadness involved. But you did predict that promise is going to be its overwhelming factor in 2020.
Did you listen to the last six episode of the Cup Forecast, Monaghan?
No.
I predicted the Atlanta Braves. Sorry, that was a typo. Atlanta Braves will win the World Series in 2020.
2020?
I did. I made a Sports Illustrated yes.
Well, that's why we made this.
You met Ryder was here. Yeah, and I told him. That's the cover next week.
We all made our predictions.
I thought
you know, Inciarte is someone that everyone was really excited for him for a long time, and then he actually made his debut and it was like, well, I guess we're not watching him anymore, but you should go watch his defensive highlights because it's really exciting. You probably didn't see any of them during the regular season, so that's why.
Unless you're a Braves fan.
Mono,
who's your favorite?
Inciarte, I watched him last season a lot, playing the Mets, and he's unbelievable. Like, he's the best. He's the best center fielder defensively in baseball, I think. Like, robbing lots of home runs. Cespedes home run. Sad. But
That was a little PTSD moment for that.
That's why I picked Inciarte, actually, to just make Matt sad.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah. Andrelton Simmons.
Yeah, he's on my list, for sure.
Just like, I was watching, because I saw he won last night, and I was just looking through some posts we did on him, and he had one. I tweeted out the gif of him, like, I think it was Cameron Maybin fielded a ball in left field, and Simmons was out for the cutoff. Maybin throws it in. Simmons doesn't even use his glove. Like, he just catches it barehanded and throws it to second. It's like,
Unreal.
Unreal, yeah. And some of his tags, like the behind-the-back tags, the deeks he does all the time on the infield. Like, he's just unbelievable. Like, one of the best you'll see at shortstop.
Yeah. It's one of those things, too, where it's like, aesthetically very pleasing.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of defensive players who are great, but sort of standard. Like, I think Mike Trout, frankly, falls into this of, like, just being really good and just kind of always being there to make the boring play.
Right.
And like, Simmons just aesthetically is always moving in these weird directions. And, like, and so it's like a ballet, and it's really
wonderful. It is like a ballet. Yeah.
Remember the WBC? I know this is, you know, at the beginning of this year, but how exciting.
I don't even remember what I had for lunch.
I probably remember what you had for lunch. But the entire Dutch infield.
Yes.
Yeah.
So great to watch.
Yeah.
That's
true. That's so true. I also had Marcelo Ozuna on my list.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah.
I know.
Robbing
of home runs. If we're talking about robbing home runs, you gotta put Ozuna on there. I love the Gold Gloves is really what I'm trying to say.
Defense is great.
But you always like people. Some people get snubbed. It's like Kevin Pillar has never won a Gold Glove.
Wow.
How is that possible?
Did you see what Yasiel Puig tweeted?
Yeah, I did. What did he tweet?
He tweeted something like, he obviously did not win a Gold Glove. Right. Jason Hayward won a Gold Glove for that position, but he was like, I'm coming back next year, and I'm coming for what's mine. I will get a Gold Glove. It's what I deserve.
You know, I think that, like, I want more athletes to invest in the kind of asinine things of baseball, and I think that's a good one. Of being, like, just caring a lot about getting a Gold Glove.
It's good, though. It improves his, you know, defense, and he was great this year defensively.
He was great. This was great.
But Hayward's, you know, he's the best.
I love Jason.
He's won, like, five, I think, or four or five in a row.
Yeah, I think it was five.
Well, Puig is coming for him, so.
Everybody better watch your back. Yeah, you better watch your back, Jason Hayward.
Okay, I'm gonna read it to you. Okay, this is actually what he wrote. Oh, wow. This is even better than I remembered.
Okay. We're reading tweets on this week's episode of the Cup Forecast.
No matter what they do or how much they try to keep me from it, period. I will win a Gold Glove next year. I'm coming back for what I deserve.
Who do we think is they?
It's like a tweet.
It's like a trailer for a movie. Like, it's like,
who do we think is they? Is it the writers? Is it other?
Is
other
it Jason Hayward?
Is it Jason Hayward? I don't know.
You should have added Jason Hayward.
Do not keep Puig from the Gold Glove because he is coming
Hashtag
for it.
Puig your Gold Glover.
Terrifying. All right, let us move on. So we talked about the Gold Gloves, Silver Sluggers coming up later this week. And then next week are the big ones. Rookie of the Year, Manager of the Year, Cy Young Award, MVP. This is it. These are the things that we think about all year.
Yeah.
It will be, I think, very interesting to see who wins these awards. Because remember, the voting all happened before the postseason, so keep that in mind.
Yeah.
just want to put a pin in that for what might end up happening in these awards. Yeah. But my question to the two of you is, if you could create an award, not the Gemmys, but a real award.
The Gemmys are a real award.
They are a real award, but they're not in the same, like,
yeah, they're
like
above that. They're
tier.
Above. They're the top tier.
Yes. The top tier is the Gemmys. Just below that are MVP, Cy Young, right. Award, Manager of the Year.
Right.
So in that tier, second tier awards, which award would you want to create, Matt?
I was thinking about it. I think I'm always interested, and people always love, it's when a position player pitches.
Yes.
So you could do like the best position player pitcher of the year.
Okay. Who's it named after?
So I was thinking, there's been a few over the years that have been really good. Frank Gore, call it the Frenchie.
Mm-hmm.
The Ichiro. Mm-hmm. Ichiro was great when
that's
he,
a good
he pitched.
One.
Oh, yeah.
But a really good one, which is kind of a pun on Cy Young, is Cy Dunn. Adam Dunn.
Yes, Dunn.
Cy Dunn.
Lock it down. That needs to be an award.
The Cy Dunn. Yeah.
Well, that's definitely what it's
called.
Because
Dunn pitched like, what, 3-4 years ago?
Yeah.
And it was hilarious. Because he's like this huge, ginormous man, you know.
Speaking
pitching.
Of awards, can we talk about when Adam Dunn won the Comeback Player of the Year award? And it was just, he came back from being bad.
Oh, yeah.
It wasn't an injury. It was just bad. And then he was like, now he's good again. Let's give it to him.
I support that, though.
I like that.
I support that use of Comeback Player of the Year.
Yeah. I mean, it's weird. Yeah. What's the definite, like, how does it work?
Because,
like, what if nobody who got injured came back really strong? Like, why not just give it to someone who is suddenly
bad.
Good
bad,
again?
Bad year in game.
Yeah. I really like that.
Gemma, what is your award that you're going to create? I don't know that either of us is going to top the Cy Dunn.
No, the Cy Dunn is just too perfect. There's really no way to do that. But I want to create the Julio Franco Award for veteran players, because rookies get awards. And this, I want it to be for old man players in the game who are still good. Like David Ortiz could have won it in his last season.
Yeah, he definitely would have won it last year, for sure.
Because... sometimes you go your entire career and you just miss out on certain milestones, and it would be nice to be like, well, your longevity and career, and you've also still been good. Mm-hmm. Like, you may not be at peak, but you've still been good for a sustained amount of time. You should get an award, and it is the Julio Franco Old Man Award.
Who's this year's Julio Franco Award winner?
Who would it be?
So is there an age range? Is there an, do you
like
have to be
Adrian
a certain
Beltre?
Age? Do you have to be a certain
you
age?
Might he may be like a little bit young for the Old Man Award. Yeah.
Like if
Beltran won a World Series,
was not terrible.
Beltran would probably
Beltran
win it this year.
Good.
It's him.
Yeah.
That's who wins
but
it.
But he didn't have a great year.
Yeah.
But
yeah. I guess if we voted at the same time as on all the other awards, it would
that's
not have
one.
Been Beltran.
Yeah.
But
that's true. It's like you have a Rookie of the Year award for.
Yeah.
Why not have an old
it's
man?
It's funny you say that.
Yes.
This is similar to my award. I thought of two. One is I think I you know I love. Gold Glove Award. We were just talking about that. Love defensive highlights. We should have a Gold Glove for the DH. And
what?
Yeah. So, you know, there's a Gold Glove for the pitcher. So there should be a Gold Glove for the designated hitter. I'm not talking about Rafael Palmeiro's 1999 Gold Glove, in which he received it for playing 128 games of DH. I'm instead talking about which designated hitter you think would make the best fielder if they fielded the ball.
So you just guess.
Yeah, you're just like, I don't know. I think he'd be great.
Dakota uses the words to make rhetorical points. Fun times.
My actual award is the breakout star of the year, because we have Rookie of the Year and we have MVP, but there is no like this is like your third, fourth, fifth year in the league, and now you're figuring it out. Mm. And maybe you're not the MVP, but you also aren't a rookie, but you still deserve an award. Like, you maybe would name this one after Jose Bautista, might be a good person to name this after. I thought this year maybe Jose Ramirez could be the winner of that award, I think. Just to, like, you know, just finally, like, breakout star. Now everybody knows who you are, and you're, like, you're going to be a top guy.
Yeah.
Like, I think that that's fun.
I think that is fun. I think that's something that we all tried to do, is just explain how there are so many guys who are really, really good or weird, and that should be highlighted outside of just being the most valuable. Like, you can do things that are beyond that, and it's still exciting.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we have those GIFs where they're breaking out of ice that we can use for those players. Remember we had those?
We did. Yeah, we could do that. We could definitely.
Like, when they win, they just burst out of the ice.
Yeah, we could definitely bring that back for sure. But now we need to take a minute to tell you about a new podcast on the MLB.com podcast network. It is hosted by former National League MVP and perhaps future National League MVP Joey Votto. And it is about the great things to do in the city of Cincinnati. It's called Great Great Don't Walk Me, and Votto will be releasing it every one. Okay, this is not a real podcast.
That wasn't as good as last week's fake one.
I know. Sorry. No, but StatCast podcast is out. You should listen to that. Fantasy 411, we love that. Truth. MLB Pipeline podcast. They're all great. Go to the MLB podcast page on iTunes. Just randomly click one and you'll find a really great podcast. That's what I do, frankly. somehow I click cut forecast. Don't listen to that. That's
every
just
time.
Terrible.
Oh, weird.
But it is now time to summarize our podcast into 280 characters. No. That's right. Today, Twitter gave everyone in America 280 characters for their tweets, no longer 140 characters, which means you now have twice as much space to summarize the cut forecast. Not that any of us need it, because all of our tweets are terrible. Matt, why don't you go first? Why don't you let us just give us your tweet.
Good try.
I got nothing. Give us your tweet.
I'm getting married. Bartolo, my best man.
Yes, I think so. He's the best.
Okay, some people.
What?
Hashtag Puig Year Gold Glover. Hashtag Cy Dunn 2018.
So I'm pretty sure that you were just banned from Twitter. I think that just happened. Yes. That was awful.
That
was an awful tweet.
Should not have any characters. You should maybe have like 30 characters. You specifically and only. You get 30 characters, and you have.
I think
to
I used 30 there. Exactly.
That was terrible.
That was
Gemma.
Oh, that was
save
so
us.
Terrible.
Give us your tweet.
Okay, it's gonna be in the style of the artist Yasiel Puig.
Okay.
No matter who or what tries to keep me from inviting Ichiro, Justin Verlander, Kate Upton, everyone on the 2006 Tigers. And this is just going to go on and on and on for a really long time. And then it will end with, that is my wedding invitation list, but Dakota Gardner and Matt Monaghan are not on it.
What?
Not invited.
I'm going to be honest with you. I've not read a tweet on Twitter longer than 140 characters. Like, I get halfway
through.
See,
I got bored even writing my own.
I'm like, this tweet's boring. I'm not going to read the rest of this.
Yeah.
It's happened every time.
Unfollow.
And that happened with your tweet.
I got
now.
Bored saying it.
Yeah.
So I don't even. It was
just
awful.
So you know,
and I'm
you
kidding.
Have 280 characters. That doesn't mean you have to use 280 characters.
Also, you would, you're both not invited to my wedding because marriage is a tool of patriarchy and I will not be getting married.
Okay. That makes a little bit more
trick
sense.
Tweet.
That's the threaded tweet, so I can write an
read
entire essay
read
on
this
Twitter.
Thread.
Yeah, because now that you have 280 characters,
yeah,
you definitely need to thread your tweet. I honestly have no idea. Okay, here is my tweet.
It's a lot to summarize.
Coming in 2018, : Yasiel Puig takes what's his, : we get a DH Gold Glove Award, : and Twitter gives everyone 560 characters, period. Hashtag tweets from hell.
I like that your tweet implied that Puig is going to get traded to a team in the American League, and he will be the DH who gets the Gold Glove.
Maybe.
Maybe that's what he has to do, just to win the Gold Glove.
There are a lot of tweets contained within that tweet. If you have a tweet that more accurately and adequately condenses our podcast in one bite-sized chunk, would you do?
Because yeah, this is
we
awful.
Were all horrible. This
you know, be they better. Say obstructions be lead to creativity, and now that our world has opened up, we've just become much less creative.
Please tweet them at us at Cut4 with the hashtag #CutForecast. If you have thoughts on Gemma's treatise on art and obstruction, please tweet at Cut4 with hashtag #CutForecast. We have a website, MLB.com/Cut4, where you can read about all the things we discussed today and many, many more. Lots of stuff going on MLB.com/Cut4. You can go to Facebook.com/Cut4, like our page, and all of our content will populate your newsfeed automatically at the whims of Mark Zuckerberg. You can follow us on Twitter. You can email us, Cut4Cast@MLB.com. That's Cut4Cast@MLB.com. If you have questions, comments, queries, concerns, if you really want to know what Matt Monaghan looks like, and you send an email, it's very polite. He might send you a selfie.
Maybe.
Weird.
It would be a little weird. But he does look like Novak Djokovic. That is true. This is a podcast. You can get us wherever you get podcasts, wherever podcasts are sold. You can go to Apple Podcasts. While you're there, you can leave us a rating, 1 to 5 stars, or you can actually type out a review. Please take the time to do that. That actually helps other people find the show. And while we like talking to you, we would also like to talk to your friends. So tell your friends about the podcast. Hey, Monaghan.
Yes.
Thanks for being on our podcast this
week. Of course.
Gemma, thank you as always for being Gemma, right? Not Jenna. It's Gemma. But mostly, thank you for listening, and we'll talk to you next week.